Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Guessed it. It's Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, on Fridays, you know what happens.
Start spreading the news.
Not only do we get a little bit of Frank, but Schomburg Stu is here as well. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, John. What's going on?
You know, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, still, we don't have Stu on Twitter just yet, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will pass along any messages you'd like to, like Stu to have. I would gladly do that for you. So. All right, here we go. Now, you mentioned, you know, it's been a bit of a slow week sports-wise because, you know, we've got the NHL is at their All-Star break and the NFL is giving us the Pro Bowl. But the NFL did have some interesting news this week when Brian Flores, the former Dolphins coach, filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL because of the lack of minority hiring. I guess my biggest question with this, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, where you sit with it is, you know, these are private, basically privately owned teams. So how do you tell a business owner who he can and can't hire? I mean, I agree with Flores, and there needs to be a little more diversity. And the Bears just did hire an African-American general manager. But there's only one black head coach, Mike Tomlin of the Steelers. Two were fired this offseason. But again, you know, this isn't, you know, it's not like, hey, here's your company, you have to do this. These are privately owned teams with the exception of the Green Bay Packers. So how do you tell them who to hire?
Well, you really can't. And I understand where he's coming from because I think it's about 70% of the players in the league are African-American. So is he saying that because of this, there should be 70% of the coaches in the league should be the same?
You know, I don't think he gave a number like that. He did mention that the league is predominantly filled with African-American or black players, as they described it. So, I'm sure there's a lot of black assistant coaches. I haven't went through and counted, but I can think of a couple right off the top of my head. So there has to be a decent number.
Well, you would like to think there would be a little bit higher percentage, but it's pretty hard to go ahead and suggest to a team that's privately owned to do what they can to ensure that there are more minority hirings. And I think he kind of smacked himself in the foot with this one. But I have a feeling his coaching career is over with because of what he did.
Oh, yeah.
His coaching career is
done. No, you know, maybe somewhere down the line he gets a job as a college coach or maybe a high school coach if he's interested in doing that. But his career as an NFL head coach is over.
Yeah, for sure. And And he was a pretty adequate coach, actually. He wasn't all that bad. His teams were, what, close to 500, I thought, and a lot of coaches with lesser records are still plugging away in the NFL.
Yeah, well, you know, he had that first year he was there, he had that, it was a really bad year for the Dolphins. I mean, they were in complete rebuild mode. And then I believe, I want to double check, but I think his second year, he made the playoffs.
Yeah, he turned it around pretty quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, even last year, they were in the playoff hunt. He had 2 out of 3 winning seasons. The first year, he was 5-11, then he went 6-10 and 9-8. Apparently, the reason he was fired, there wasn't really any reason given, but it's been reported that the owner just didn't like him.
But was any
so, you know, and again,
reason given as to why
you know,
he didn't like him? Was there any reason why?
No, I haven't heard any of that. There was some speculation he was a little difficult to work with. But I don't know how, you know, again, you don't know how much truth there is to any of these because it could just be leaked to make, you know, the Dolphins not look bad or something to that effect. So.
Well, I think the upshot might be there might be a slightly larger percentage of coaches who are minority in the future, but I don't think we'll ever see a huge representation like Flores wants, but certainly his career is done in the NFL at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I know he mentioned that there weren't enough minority owners, and I did see that the Denver Broncos were put up for sale this week, so let's see if they can get a minority group together and buy the Broncos.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be something
that,
if they could do that, if they can do that. But I don't see that happening. But it'll be interesting to see if anything comes of what he has done, what Flores has done.
Yeah, well, you know, like I think it's just odd to me where it's like, you know, again, how do you force these guys into, you know, making a hire? I mean, you know, it's their team. They're going to hire who they think is the best candidate for the job. You know, like today, Doug Peterson just got officially hired in Jacksonville to coach the Jaguars. Byron Leftwich, the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator, who is black, was also up for that job. He did pull his name out earlier this week, but, you know, Peterson won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Leftwich has never had a head coaching job. You know, nothing against Leftwich, but Peterson has the better resume.
Yeah.
And he also helped develop Carson Wentz when Carson Wentz actually played well. So how do you, you know, I mean, how do you, you know, how can you say this was a, you know, the wrong hire when we're talking about a guy who's got a Super Bowl on his resume?
Yeah, when you look at it on a pencil and paper, the team obviously made the logical choice, color notwithstanding.
Yeah, and you know, nothing against Leftwich. I'm sure Leftwich is a, you know, a fantastic coach, but, you know, let's face it, he worked with Tom Brady. How many guys has Brady made look good?
Yeah, well, maybe I think in time he might get a chance at a head coaching job down the road in a few years, possibly.
Well, I don't know. We said the same thing about Eric Bieniemy, and he's still the Chiefs' offensive coordinator.
That is also true.
You know, it just did. You know, it just kind of depends. And you know, then again, it is possible. Maybe Bieniemy is staying, thinking he's the head coach and waiting if Andy Reid decides to walk away one day.
You have to wonder, though, Elza, why Flores did what he did, because he must know that by doing what he did, it kind of ended his aspirations to be an NFL coach.
Yeah, you you do wonder, you know, I mean, I would love to sit here and say he did it because it was the right thing to do, and I hope that's why. You know, that would be a huge positive if that was the reason he came out and did all this. But, you know, you never know.
No, it was a speculative move on his part, and I'm not sure it was the correct one for his future.
Yeah, you know, I'm you know, again, like, I understand what he's saying. You know, I completely do, and, you know, I mean, sure, they need more black head coaches. You know, has there been a guy hired that, you know, maybe they should have hired, you know, can you say that? You know, has there been a guy hired that shouldn't have been hired and they should have hired a black coach instead?
And I hate to bring this point up, but are the black coaches held to a higher standard than a white coach?
Well, you know, actually, I think they're given less leeway because, you know, if you look at the guy, you know, David Culley got canned in Houston, a terrible team. They gave him one season, and he didn't have Deshaun Watson. What are you supposed to do with a bad team and not your quarterback?
Yeah.
And he managed to win some games.
When Lovie Smith was fired by the Bears, didn't they have a winning season that year?
Did they have it? Was it that year or was it the year before? I'm trying to remember. Let me see if I can find Lovie's record here really quick. And
I'm drawing a blank on that one. I thought he might have had a winning record that year. Maybe, as you suggest, it was the year before. I was thinking 10-6,
yeah.
But
I can check here. And let's see. Yeah, his last year with the Bears, he went 10-6. So,
and
yeah,
I don't think you see too many coaches
on
fire with a 10-6 record.
Yeah, he only had 3 losing seasons out of all the years he was in Chicago.
Of course, I have to ask myself this question. If he was such a great coach, and yes, he was fired with a winning record, he didn't seem to do the job for the University of Illinois.
Well, to be fair, he was 10-6, but they did not make the playoffs. So, you know, he only had 3 playoff appearances in the – how many years was he here? 9 years he was here.
Yeah,
and he wasn't very
time.
Good in Tampa.
No.
Yeah, in Tampa in two – he was 8-24. And then he wasn't very good at the University of Illinois either. He never had a winning record there in the, you know, 4.5, 5 seasons he was there. He was 17-39.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
So, yeah, the only place he had success was with the Bears. He was 81-63 overall with them. But it didn't work out anywhere else for him for whatever reason.
No.
So, you know, he did make one bowl game with Illinois, but they were 6-7 that year. So even though they made a bowl game, they were still under 500 because of those goofy NCAA qualifications.
Well, there's so many bowl games now that if you wind up with 6-7, you have a shot of making a bowl somewhere, a lesser bowl somewhere.
Yeah, well, you need 6 wins to qualify, and then they kind of get their pick of, you know, who or what they're going to do with you. But Lovie was actually on the Houston Texans staff last year. He was the associate head coach and defensive coordinator. I'm guessing he's no longer in that position because, like I said, David Culley was fired.
Yeah,
so,
no, I think I'm sure he's out.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was his, you know, first trip back to the NFL for, you know, since 2016.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens with this Flores situation. Or, as in many things that happen in sports like this, it's quickly forgotten.
So, yeah, you know, you do wonder if or how this plays out. And I guess the question is, if he wins, what does he win? You know, I mean, is it just going to be a monetary settlement like Colin Kaepernick got? Because this is a kind of sort of similar situation.
And if he does win any kind of a monetary compensation for this, I would have a feeling that it's going to be an undisclosed amount.
Yeah, you would think, you know, depending on, you know, what, how it ends up or what, you know, what it ends up being. But I, you know, again, like I said, I mean, I understand what he's talking about. You know, there is very much a lack of, you know, black NFL head coaches, or, you know, I don't know about the, you know, there's probably a lack in the front office as well. I don't know those numbers off the top of my head. But, you know, again, like I said, I mean, it's confusing to, always confusing to me, because you're looking at guys who, you know, what can you really do? I mean, they're in, you know, they're independently owned teams. They're privately owned teams. So, you know, they're kind of allowed to run their business how they want to. And it's hard to say, hey, you have to hire this guy, or, you know,
yeah.
I know they have the Rooney rule. You have to interview black candidates, but that really hasn't seemed to do much.
No. They may have that rule instituted, but I haven't seen it doing much in the way of hiring the black coaches over the years.
So, yeah, and, I mean, honestly, I really thought Flores was going to get one of these other jobs. You know, I know the Texans were very interested in him because their general manager is somebody Flores worked with in New England. I believe he interviewed for the Giants job, but that went to Brian Daboll. Or actually, no, he was supposed to interview for the Giants job. This is where that all started. Apparently, Bill Belichick actually congratulated him via text on getting the Giants job, and he sent it to the wrong Brian.
Yeah, yeah, that was
and
that was a huge embarrassment. I think that's what kind of instituted the lawsuit, isn't it?
What?
That's what kind of set the whole thing off when he found out about the the text going to the wrong person.
Yeah, he got the text from Belichick before he had even interviewed for the Giants job. And that's what set this all off, because he was upset because they had already made a hire and they still were going to interview him, because you have to interview black candidates. You know, and I know, you know, the Bears originally expressed some interest with him, but they didn't interview him. I heard his name mentioned for the Saints job, but that was before all this came out. And like you mentioned, he's not getting any jobs now.
Which begs the question, why would he do this if his life's work is to be an NFL head coach, when he knows that this is going to blackball him for life?
Maybe he changed his mind. You know, maybe he decided after the whole debacle, he didn't want to coach anymore.
Well, it's very possible, but coaching is a well-paid profession, and what's he going to do now?
I don't know, or maybe, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe he invested his money well enough, and he doesn't have to do anything.
Well, it's possible. I don't think he was paid up to the level of some of the other coaches in the league.
But that doesn't mean he wasn't smart.
Possible. That's possible. Well, it'll be quite interesting to see how this plays out in succeeding weeks.
You know, who knows? Maybe he invested in Bitcoin when it was just starting out and he made a mint.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is that it's a Bitcoin is such a volatile market. I mean, you could be up hundreds of thousands of dollars one day and in the tank the next day. So that's a very risky investment.
Well, maybe he got in and got out and cashed some big bucks.
Well, it's possible, yeah. There was a lot of money he made in that investing in Bitcoin. Maybe not so much now.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, there are some, you know, like I mentioned, you know, the Texans' job is still open, and I know he was considered a front runner for that. You know, there's the Saints who haven't hired anybody. The Vikings still haven't. They interviewed Jim Harbaugh, and I know they have a top candidate in mind, but I don't believe they've officially hired anybody. The Dolphins still haven't hired anybody. That's where Flores was fired at. So, you know, they're open. But I think the other positions are all taken now. So it's just those three.
That's all that's left. And, of course, I believe Harbaugh is now off the table. Is he supposedly remaining in Michigan?
Yeah, he met with the Vikings yesterday. And for whatever reason, I don't know if they didn't like him, he didn't like them. He went back to Michigan and announced today that he will no longer pursue NFL jobs. So we will see how well that actually sticks, but who knows.
Yeah, how many times have we seen a coach say that, and then the next week he's coaching a team in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, you do wonder, like, if he was to go on and win a national championship at Michigan, you know, maybe he would leave then.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of coaches do that with the right offer.
Well, he's got a very well-paying gig at Michigan, and there's a lot of outside income that comes with that job, too. So I think he's not hurting financially.
No, oh, no, with what those guys make when you know, when you're a successful college coach at a big university, oh, yeah, he's making millions of dollars.
Yeah, no question about it.
So, yeah, that's not an issue at all for him. You know, yeah, I mean, you add up a guy who was, you know, an average NFL quarterback who cashed some checks, and then, you know, he was the head coach at Stanford, which I'm sure paid pretty well, and then he was the 49ers head coach, which I'm sure paid pretty well, and, you know, now he's the head coach at the University of Michigan, which pays pretty well. Yeah, I think he should be fine.
And when you think about it, why would he possibly even consider leaving Michigan?
You know, you got to remember, with the 49ers, he got to the Super Bowl and didn't win. So you wonder if maybe there's still something in there that says he needs to win a Super Bowl as a head coach?
Possibly.
You know, because you know, you can ask why a lot of these guys leave. You know, why would this guy leave this for that? Or, you know, I mean, what the heck was Urban Meyer thinking, leaving a cushy job at ESPN to go coach the Jaguars, who everybody knew wasn't going to be very good?
And I'm sure there's a lot less pressure with the ESPN gig as compared to being the coach at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't even make it through the season as the Jaguars head coach. In his first year. So, you know, but you look and, I mean, he was a great college coach, but, you know, so was Nick Saban, and he couldn't cut it with the Dolphins. He made it through 1 year.
Yeah, some college coaches just cannot make the transition to the NFL.
Yeah. You know, and vice versa. There's NFL guys who go to college and don't have success.
Yeah, well, we just talked about Lovie, for example, Lovie Smith.
Yeah, and I believe Herm Edwards struggled at Arizona State this year. I don't know their record off the top of my head, but I think they had a down year as well. So, you know, we'll have to see if he can turn that program around.
Yeah, I would think maybe they would give another year or two at least to see if he can do that.
Yeah, I think he'll get time. You know, he'll get some time. Well, he's had some time there. He's in his fifth year, and actually, he did better than I thought. He was actually 8-5 last year, and overall, he's 25-18. So he's done well there. He's had a winning record every year. 2020, they only played 4 games because of COVID, and they went 2-2. So we'll throw that out and just say he's had a winning record every year.
Yeah, it just takes one above average year for the program really to become successful.
Yeah, and he's been to a bowl game every year as well. So.
And I think that the institutes look at that and how much money they get generated from going to a bowl game and think that they made a wise choice in keeping him as the head coach.
So, yeah, he definitely he's done much better. I don't know who I was thinking of then, that there was, because there was some guy, maybe it was the Arizona head coach, maybe Arizona's not doing well, and I just kind of confused the schools. So.
Yeah, you go to a bowl game, and the money keeps rolling in to the institute.
Yep. Yeah, and that's one thing they really like is when that money comes in. So you keep getting, even the smaller bowls pay. So, you keep doing that, you're going to be okay.
For sure.
So. But, yeah, then kind of switching it up here on what I call a very sad note. I don't know if you caught this one today. Yesterday, the Major League Baseball owners asked for mediation in their labor talks with the players because it's clear it's going nowhere. The players just will not budge on their demands. Today, the players turned that down, saying they don't need it. And what they need to do is get back to the table. So when you're looking to point blame on it this time around, it's not the owners. This is all on the players.
I saw that too, and then I saw a couple other things that drew my attention after I saw that, and I said to myself, I am going to enjoy watching Des Moines Cubs playing on TV a lot of games this season.
Yeah, because they are nowhere close. You know, the players came back and basically kept their offer exactly the same, except they dropped $5 million off something they had. They went from like 105 to 100 million while the owners were at 10 million. So even though they knocked it down $5 million, there's still a $90 million gap between the two sides. So they didn't do anything, and the owners were supposed to make a proposal, and instead they asked for mediation. And I know Max Scherzer put out a bunch of BS tweets that I caught a couple of today about how, you know, the same BS we hear, oh, well, this is for the long term of, you know, of the game and, you know, all this other crap, which I'm just tired of hearing.
Well, we've talked about that before at length a couple of times about that nonsense about we're not doing it for ourselves but for the future generation of players. And we all know that's a bunch of malarkey. And when I saw that article today that you mentioned, I thought to myself that not only is spring training going to be delayed, but I'm afraid to say it, but I fear that the start of the regular season is in serious jeopardy right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, because we're literally, you know, weeks away from spring training fully starting. By now, you know, a lot of teams would have had pitchers and catchers report. So,
but I do have to agree with you, by the way. When I do blame the players this time, not agreeing to have some kind of mediation to sit down and at the bargaining table and see if between the two of them together they could work out some kind of an equitable solution to the situation. But they wouldn't even hear about it. They wouldn't discuss it.
No, didn't want anything to do with it. They, you know, they want to go back to the table so they can blame everything on the owners. And that's all they want to do, is they just want to continue to push the blame onto the owners. You know, and sadly, a lot of the fans side with that because they see the owners as the billionaires and they're greedy and they want more money. It's right now, it's all on the players who just aren't interested in negotiating fairly.
I'm wondering if the fans are starting to become a little disgruntled with the players' stand in this situation.
Boy, I would hope so, but sadly, I think there's just, you know, too many are built up to blame the owner. You know, it's the owner's fault. So here's one of Scherzer's tweets. It says, "We don't need mediation because what we are offering to MLB is fair for both sides." Well, obviously it's not.
No.
You know, I mean, we all know better. So.
Yeah, that an arrogant statement by Scherzer, and unfortunately, it's going to delay things. And I always look forward to spring training and the regular season starting, and I fear I'm going to be disappointed for 2022.
Yeah. It's you know, I'll be done if they don't start on time. I'm not going to watch any of it. I don't want to deal with it. It's just crap at this point.
Yeah, I always say it's insatiable greed on both sides, but now I'm starting to look at the players and saying, hey, wait a minute. The owners want to sit down and talk, and you guys don't even do that.
Yeah, well, they want to sit down and talk. They just don't want to do it with a mediator, which I don't understand what the difference is. You know, why can't you get together with everybody and just, you know, let's get it out of the way? You know,
are they
see
afraid
what the
that
mediator
the mediator will force them to make a decision?
Yeah, maybe the mediator can close the gap between the two sides.
Yeah, by doing that, at least maybe there'll be some kind of a resolution to the problem. Now there's nothing.
You know, that's what I was thinking. I mean, get together, sit down, talk about it. Maybe, you know, like I said, the mediator can bring you closer together, and then you can work it out.
Are there supposed to be any kind of discussions next week at all, or is that it for now?
You know, I hadn't heard anything. I know they were supposed to meet either today or tomorrow, today or maybe Monday, but instead the owners asked for the mediation. So I think I'm assuming that meeting was called off, and my guess is they don't have anything scheduled would be my guess. You know, if the players don't want to sit down with the mediator, I don't know if the owners are going to be willing to sit down with them.
Let's assume, for example, that finally, somewhere down the line, maybe it's even a delay of the season, there will be a season this year. I know that the fans are going to suffer because there's going to be an increase in ticket prices.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that, and that's the sad part, is that's who it's going to get taken out on, is the fans. Because first they won't get baseball, and then when they get baseball back, you'll have to pay more to see it.
And aren't they pricing themselves out of the market? Because how is an average family of four, say two kids, mother, father, goes to the game, souvenirs, concessions, parking, how are they going to afford to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't understand what they think or how they think. You know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things where, you know, the owners are going to have to find a way to make up for this lost revenue again. You know, because just remember, 2 years ago they had to deal with COVID. Obviously, that wasn't the players' fault, but. You know, again, it's lost revenue, but yet the players are going to want salaries, and they're going to want salaries to increase.
And I'm sure all the major sports outlets, the marquees, ESPNs, are going to be very unhappy if there's no baseball this year, if there's a delay in baseball, MLB.
Right.
All their advertisers, all the sponsors of the games.
Yeah, well, you know, it costs the networks money because, you know, anybody who bought time can get a refund because there's no baseball game for you to show it on. So,
right,
they're,
exactly.
You know, they're not going to be happy about that.
So it winds up with a trickle-down effect, and that not only does it affect the fans, the players, the owners. It affects the advertisers, the sponsors, the TV stations, all the way down the line, the cameraman,
yeah.
Everybody. And can you imagine the staggering amount of lost revenue because of this situation, what potentially is going to happen?
It's ridiculous. And, like I said, you want to point fingers, don't point at the owners this time.
No.
This all goes the players' way.
Now, the average player, the average player have a say in this, or is that just the representatives of the teams that have the final decision about whether or not to accept a mediator or everything else?
No, it's very much, it's a union. So each team has a rep who is supposed to, the union head know what the team wants, what his team wants.
And I can see this causing dissension on a team. Say 14.
Oh, it can.
14 yes, 11 no. And I could see problems all the way down the line with this one.
Right, and where it also causes problems is a guy like Max Scherzer can go without getting a paycheck. But a guy who might only be in his second or third year might not be able to go without a paycheck until, say, June when the season starts. So, that starts to wear on these guys. And, again, we're talking about guys who just had to deal with this. I know they got paid during COVID, but they didn't get full salaries. So now you got a guy bouncing back again who's got to do it 2 out of the last 3 years while his teammate who made all his money is basically holding him back from making his money because he won't sit down and talk to Major League Baseball.
Maybe you would explain something to me. Isn't there a minimum major league salary for a player?
Yes.
Because I read that some major league players make very small amount of money in comparison to what the minimum is, and I don't see how that could happen. Maybe they're only up for a couple of weeks, and it's prorated.
Yeah, if you're up and down, being a minor leaguer, you don't get that full year. So, it's based on how long you're up. Last year, for example, the minimum salary was $570,500 if you were there for the whole year.
What about the Cub players that they brought up for part of the year, like Wisdom, the first baseman? I wonder how much they got, a prorated amount?
Yeah, it's prorated then over, how many games they were up for. So, obviously, if you were on the roster for 100 games, you'd get paid – basically 100 games worth of whatever that breaks down to.
Right. Well, still, that's the most money they ever made in their baseball career, I would imagine. But it's very difficult for some of these players to survive at a AAA level for any great length of time. Although some have done it, it can't be easy.
Yeah, it's just, you look at a guy like that and, my guess, you mentioned Patrick Wisdom. I'm going to go out on a huge limb here and say Patrick Wisdom's contract isn't guaranteed like Max Scherzer's is. So the Cubs don't have to pay Patrick Wisdom, but the Mets are going to have to pay Max Scherzer even when they're not playing. So Scherzer gets an income while Wisdom gets nothing. And no matter how much he made last year, that's only going to go so far.
Yeah, you wonder how the fringe players and the team that for Scherzer's team, for example, feel about the decision that he made regarding the fact that he said, no, we're not going to have a mediator talk.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I don't know if he's the Mets representative. I'm guessing he's not because he just signed there. He was just the guy shooting his mouth off.
Right, that's true.
So,
I think he has been a rep, though, for some other teams over the years.
I wouldn't surprise me if he was a rep with the Nationals because he was there the longest.
Right.
So. But, yeah, it's just, you know, ridiculous with the way they, you know, they talk like they're doing this great thing for the game and, you know, they're going to set everybody up. Well, if you'd set every, you know, you're going to set everybody up. Yeah, you know, it would be.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about Scherzer being set up, but maybe a bit hypocritical of him to say that. Yeah, future generation of players, because of us, are going to be set up for life.
Yeah. So yeah, looking here, including last year, since 2012 when Patrick Wisdom started, he's actually made a little over $1.3 million since 2012.
So he's been averaging about $100,000 a year, maybe a little over $100,000 a year.
He made $400,000 last year with the Cubs, but the year before that, he only made about $65,000 because he bounced between a couple teams. So, yeah, it just kind of depends where, you know, where you end up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and again, you know, we're talking about a $1.3 million over a 10-year period. So, you know, and his agent gets 10% of that.
Right. And I'm sure the travel arrangements in the minors is not plush, and the accommodations are not very, very plush compared to when you're in the major leagues.
So you kind of wonder, you know, just how much money, you know, and I'll use him because you brought him up, but you wonder, you know, how much money a guy like that, you know, is actually sitting on. So.
Yeah, it's a tough way to make a buck, and the uncertainty is there, and to survive like that year after year after year. And so if you take away the $400,000 he made last year, that the money he earned is not all that much over a 10, 12-year period.
Right, and then you talk about a guy like Scherzer, who's been around 12 years now and has made almost $140 million. So who's sitting better when it comes to not getting a paycheck till July?
Yeah, exactly right.
So, you know, so it's easy for Scherzer to stand up there and say, oh, yeah, you know, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, hey, if he never played again or if he never got a check for Major League Baseball again, he would be fine.
Yeah.
But there's
no
other
whatsoever.
Who... Right, there's other guys who need these paychecks, just like every other working stiff out there needs their weekly paycheck.
Yeah, exactly right. Dare I say it, are we going to be looking forward to a COVID-like season in baseball, 60-game season?
You know, it's possible, depending on how long it takes these two sides to get together, and with the way the players are going, it looks like it's going to take a while.
It certainly does, and that's very sad. It's really an affront to the fans, too. I mean, that's very upsetting.
So, yeah, it is so disappointing for me as a baseball fan that I actually get angry about it. You know,
well,
it actually upsets me to the point where I get angry because they can't figure this out.
you would think they would do something before the season starts, but I'm becoming to be more and more pessimistic about that happening.
Yeah, I don't see any way the season starts on time. You know, with as far apart as these two sides are, there's just no way they're going to manage to get this together without some kind of miracle.
I think you and I should offer our services and do it gratis just to see if we can come up with a solution for them.
So, yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I don't know what all the factors are in this. You know, basically it boils down to both sides wanting a bigger cut of the pie. And unfortunately, from my eating experience, you can only cut the pie so many ways.
Yeah, you can't you can't go past 100%. You can't go past 50. You can't make it 55-50, can you?
Yeah.
That wouldn't work out.
You know, that's the sad part is everybody, each side wants more than 50%, and that just doesn't add up.
Yeah, the only way it adds up is in the old accounting jokes I've told you about over the years. For example, as to in accounting, the old accounting joke of what is 2 + 2? And the answer is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, and we did have more baseball news today. I don't know if you saw this one, but Joe West, the umpire who they affectionately call Cowboy Joe West, has retired.
Oh, wow.
After umpiring a record of 5,460 regular season games.
Well, he was certainly a larger-than-life umpire.
Yeah, I don't believe he was very well liked by a whole lot of guys, but, you know, he stuck around for a long time, and, you know, at 69 years old, he's going to walk away from the game, and Roberto Ortiz will get his umpiring spot. He'll become the first full-time Puerto Rican umpire. So I guess diversity is not a problem with umpire?
No, not at all. Well, Joe West may have not been the greatest umpire in the world, but I think he was a lot better than, for example, with Angel Hernandez. Was he one of our favorite umpires?
Yeah, so. So, yeah, you know, that'll be something different. And then you mentioned watching AAA games, and you'll actually have six more to watch this year as they have expanded their season to 150 games.
That's correct. I saw that also. Yeah, from 144 to 150.
Yeah.
And you think they did that in lieu of the fact they think there's going to be a prolonged baseball strike in MLB?
You know, you do wonder. You know, because in most cases they complain about having too many games. So to add games is kind of interesting. But I don't know, you know, why they did it. You know, they're not going to give a reason really on why they did it. So.
Yeah, when I saw that, the first thing I thought of was that I think you and I are going to have to get used to watching a lot of Des Moines, Iowa baseball games on marquee this season.
Yeah. So, or you can watch them on like MILB.com. They show games over there too if you want to do it on your computer. So.
Yeah, but when I saw that, I had this sinking feeling that it was due to the fact that they are kind of the opinion that there will be a prolonged MLB strike, and that's why they added those games. I can't think of any of the
reasons. Yeah, it is possible. You know, they think they're going to need to show them. So.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they'll have to get something on television. So.
And I'm sure that they'll get some of the regular sponsors, but I think they'll have to offer them a discounted rate when they do show some of their products on those games.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, it's not quite the same when you're watching a minor league game. So
No.
You know, they are more fun to go to. Yeah,
well,
they're more fun to attend.
One in South Bend.
They're a lot more
I know you've been to that South Bend game. And
not quite the same as a it's not quite the same skill level, let's just say. So, but
I
then we do have a
go ahead.
You have a basketball game on tonight that you can watch. The Bulls are playing back to back after a sad overtime loss in Toronto. So my guess is DeMar DeRozan isn't going to play tonight, because he generally doesn't play back-to-back. They're playing Indiana, who is 19-34, but seems to beat the Bulls. I don't know how that works out. And believe it or not, the Bulls are just a one-point favorite tonight.
Well, betting-wise, I would pick Indiana tonight myself if I were a betting man, but I'm not. So I have a bad feeling that the Bulls are going to drop the game again. Against an inferior opponent.
It looks like it is Zach LaVine and Kobe White who will be sitting out this back-to-back. They've already been announced as out for tonight.
Well, Zach LaVine has been experiencing another injury now lately, some kind of back spasms, which is probably why he's not playing tonight.
Yeah, especially back-to-back. So
I have to give him a lot of credit, though. He's a tough guy. I mean, he's really good at it out and played with some injuries this season, so I can't question his toughness.
Yeah, I can, but that's just me.
Okay.
Vujicic had a good game last night, so he'll have to step up again if, the Bulls are going to have any chance tonight.
Yeah, he scored, 30 points, and he had a lot of rebounds, 15, 16, 17 rebounds, maybe even more than that, and he played a terrific game. But it's unfortunate they lost that game because their defense fell apart, allowing Toronto to get that wide-open three to tie the game and force OT.
I don't watch much of the Bulls. You know, I'll check in. I had it on the radio last night, but sadly I nodded off before the game even started. Well, actually I shouldn't say sadly, because that's a good thing for me. There is, you know, being that it's Friday night, there is a game on ESPN. You can get Philadelphia Dallas at 9:00, and NBA TV is actually showing a game. They have the, I guess you could say, surprising Cleveland Cavaliers. They're at the Charlotte Hornets. That game's going to start as soon as you and I get done podcasting. Well, so does the Bulls, because they're in Indiana, but
yeah, there's a one-hour time difference
TV.
There. Yeah, Indiana's on Eastern time.
Yes. So, but yeah, no real what you would call marquee matchups tonight in the NBA. They do have Brooklyn is at Utah, but you know Kevin Durant is out and James Harden isn't going to play tonight. So that takes a little bit of the shine off the matchup there.
Yeah, that's too bad. That would have been a good matchup.
You know, and you do have the NHL skills competition to watch. That's tonight. So you can check that out. You know, they have, what is it, fastest skater and hardest shot, and don't think they have a – the goaltending one, and then there's a sharpshooting one. I don't remember all the names of them.
You've watched some of those skill sets, and I've never been able to get into those myself.
Yeah, you know, some of them I enjoy more than the actual All-Star game. So.
Yeah, the All-Star game format is kind of, they made some tweaks to it over the last couple of years that kind of unusual games they play now.
Yeah. So, and this year, obviously, not as interesting for me because I think Alex DeBrincat is the only Blackhawk involved. So that kind of takes away from me a little bit.
The actual All-Star game itself, where is it being played?
That's Las Vegas.
Okay. Because if it was played in Canada, there wouldn't be any spectators.
Yeah. Yeah, we were emailing back and forth about that. I was wondering if that's where the – I forgot the game was this weekend, to tell you the truth. That's how much attention I paid up All-Star games. So.
Yeah, I've never been a great lover of All-Star games. I used to like to watch the baseball ones.
Yeah, that's the one I enjoy. You know, it's the only one that's actually like to a game. Because hockey, don't they do three-on-three?
Yeah, it's a strange format now. I know they changed it. Are you too old or too young to remember when the All-Star game in football was the college All-Stars against the NFL champions?
No, I remember that. I watched a couple of those.
And once in a great while, there will be an upset, and the college All-Stars have won, but not very often.
No, you know, which makes perfect sense, you know. So, but since you brought that up, you know what that means time for. They had the skills challenge last night, so that means this weekend, Sunday, we have your favorite, the NFL Pro Bowl. And, you know, Wednesday I wrote in the blog that I was going to make you pick the winner, so you're going with the AFC, or you're going to pick the hometown NFC because of the Bears? Who wins the game?
I'll go with the NFC, and I will even predict the score. I will predict the score 56-48.
Yeah, sadly, that could be probably correct. I wanna look into it here and see what we've got for the line here. Do they have it? Yes, the AFC is favored by 1 point, and the over-under on the game is 62.5. And interestingly, they're playing in Las Vegas as well.
Las Vegas is becoming always been the betting capital of the world. Now they're going to be in the sports capital of the world. They have both All-Star games there. Or the Pro Bowl game and the NHL game also.
Yeah, the NFC has won the last four Pro Bowls in a row, so you may.
I think it's time for the NFC to step up and win one.
So they've won four in a row, so we'll see if they can make it five.
Five in a row, that's right. But I must tell you that I will not be watching that game.
No, I hate that game with a passion. It drives me nuts watching it. It's almost as bad as the NBA All-Star game.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because every year we talk about this, and one of these years my predictions are going to be correct, right? We're going to see a 205-202 NBA All-Star game.
We'll get that prediction coming up because they're going to start real soon, but now it's time for you and I to start our weekend. I don't know what's going on over here, but I'm going to have to think it up doing some of these myself like that. So I'm going to work on that. But while I'm gone, sportstimeradio.com, and look for the blog talk that I do tomorrow. Follow that link to the Sportstime Radio Facebook page and give it a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed is at Sportstime Radio. I'm on Twitter. If you can't find this in the live auction, if you miss out, tunein.com. You can listen anytime you want over there. Have a good weekend, everybody.